Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
Hey, once again, that is the sound of rock cracking right here. We may have to have some bells ringing because it's the holiday season, and you've got Doc Holliday right here on WebTalkRadio.net. You're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Yes, Christmas is coming up, and this country has a lot to be thankful for, but a lot to ask for. And we need to ask more than Santa Claus because we need some peace in this country. We need some reconciliation. We need to wake up, and America needs to take a look in the mirror. Now, the Ferguson fallout, America, do we have an opportunity to build up or to burn it down? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. It is a tough subject. It is a sensitive subject, and we're going to get into it today. I'm going to tell you, we're going to hear from Thomas Sowell. We'll hear the great NBA basketball player, Charles Barkley. We're going to hear a clip from him. Hey, we got a clip from O'Reilly and Tavis Smiley. So a lot of good people to back up what we're going to say, and we're going to explore this. We're going to open up and look into the doors that some people don't want to look into. We're going to listen and talk. Hey, we're going to hear some things from Sean Hannity and some of his shows where he played some clips and he had none other than Mark Levin on. What does Mark Levin think about this, the very conservative talk show host? But yours truly, Doc Holliday, is going to open up some doors. I'm going to give you some concepts and some things I've looked at, and we're going to hear from Attorney General Eric Holder, and then some of the things he said. Dr. Alveda King, she responded to something he said very in particular. Now, she was in Ferguson, and she's a friend of this program, a friend of mine, and we're going to hear what she said to respond to Eric Holder and what he presented. So, very important show. You're going to hear some angles and things you won't hear anywhere else, but right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Before we get into that, though, I need to go back in the previous shows. We've talked about immigration and what the president has done with his executive order. Now, what else is going on? We know Congress is maneuvering, and some people are mad at the Republicans, the leadership. Let's shut down the immigration now. Let's shut down the government, whatever it takes. Some people are saying, well, we need to get into January when the Republicans have the Senate and the House. And all the maneuvering, some people are getting upset. Go back and listen to my show, The Viable Response, a Republican Response. And leadership needs to be seen. But what else is going on? Well, last week it came out that 17 states, led by Texas, Attorney General in Texas, is going to sue Barack Obama, the executive branch, for the executive order. So there's action going on. Courts are being involved. And that's what I want you to understand. Some of my friends, my best friends in the Tea Party and other places, want to grab this amnesty that the president has put out, and they want to shut everything down. And I know some of you are saying, we don't want to shut everything down, just don't give them the money for carrying out amnesty. Well, you got to understand, courts are involved, and America is looking to see how the Republican leadership will react. We need them to be strong, but we need to show that the Republicans can lead, can govern, and can make America a better place. And that is a very important concept because 2016, we're playing for all the marbles. We got the House and the Senate, must keep the Senate, and we must get the presidency to get rid of this Obamacare nightmare. It is a drag on the economy. People still don't like it by a high percentage. It's over 55%, going on toward 60%. People who disapprove of the Unaffordable Uncaring Act, the way we call it right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. So I want you to understand that. I want you to understand that it is very important that the Republicans govern in a way that the American people say, yes, this is once again the party of the people. For so long, the Democratic Party was known as the party for the people. If they've been in power for over 6 years and the middle class is shrinking, it's disappearing. Why? Because of the policies of the far left. And Republicans must retake the mantle of being the party of the hard-working American people. And that's why it's imperative that they don't take the bait thrown out by the President Barack Obama in trying to make an all-out war against him, because his policies will get more ingrained and he wants the war. What we don't need to do is see people back away without any response. But what the states are doing is exactly what we need. There has to be a full court press. If you're a basketball player, you know what that means. The president must be positioned to be guarded from every side. And we must play this in the face, but don't make stupid mistakes. We've got to get the ball back, and so we can score. And until we get the White House, we can't get the score we need to get this nation not only turned around, but moving in a direction that builds up families, builds up people, builds up business, and makes America stronger than we've ever been before. That's the important goal here. Remember, we must have patience, must have intelligence, must do things in a very smart manner and way. And all conservatives need to get in this effort and get themselves positioned and placed in what needs to be done. We are going to get into what I'm calling the Ferguson fallout. America's opportunity to build up or to burn it down. What are we talking about? Well, I think most of our listeners know in America, there was a grand jury that met to decide if police officer Darren Wilson in Ferguson, Missouri, who had shot a young African-American, and he's been presented in so many different ways, but the grand jury testimony came out, and the witnesses said they saw individual, and he was charging the officer Darren Wilson. There had been a scuffle in the police car. The policeman said he went after his gun. We even know by forensics that the young black man was shot in the hand and had left the car. And some people say he put his hands up and said, "Don't shoot. Hands up, don't shoot," is a phrase that's been going around. But there was none of that in the testimony to the grand jury. There were witnesses, including African-Americans, who said this young black man charged the officer like he was going to tackle him in a football game. And that's when the shots occurred, the fatal shots. If you want to know more, most Americans have found out more, but you can get that information in news stories. But I wanted to set you up for what's going on in Ferguson. There were riots back in August, and now after the grand jury came out, what happened? There was rioting and looting all over Ferguson, and many businesses were burned, and the National Guard was not in. They were nearby, but they didn't stop the looting and burning and the crime spree. And that's where we are. That's where we are, America. What are we? Have we progressed in racial relationships? And some people say, well, we haven't, this not any better than it was in the 1950s and 60s. Well, I beg to differ. And I beg to differ on that, because I live in the state of Mississippi, and even though I was a very young person in the 60s, a child, I can tell you relations have come light years from where they were in Mississippi. Are we there yet? No. I had one gentleman say, well, he was in a confession-type mode in an African-American church, and he gave his testimony to being a full-out racist that had marched behind Governor Maddox, Lester Maddox in Georgia, and just could not stand the thought of having his child in the same school as a black child. But he was giving his testimony as becoming a Christian. When he did, he lost his wants or needs to be a racist. And within a few months, he was talking about how he saw a young black boy crying, getting ready for first grade, just like his young white girl. And he grabbed her hand and the young black boy's hand and walked him down to the principal to get him started in first day of school. And he said he would have never done that previously. But he was giving his testimony into the African-American church where I was attending. And I'm telling you these things to let you know that race relations have come a long way. I've been to foot washings. I've been to acts of forgiveness. I've seen ministers who were ashamed and knowing that their family had racist comments. And one gentleman was a pastor who found out his grandfather had been a pastor for the Ku Klux Klan, and he apologized again to the African-American community that was there, and pastors, an African-American pastor, wanted to wash his feet. And then the African-American pastor said, yes, I have to forgive you. And forgiveness was there. Telling you, there's on the backdrop of this Ferguson fallout, there are some stories not being told, and there's questions and answers being explored. And that's why I want to open up your minds and see, as we listen to some of these clips coming up, how they affect you. How does it affect your life? What can you do overall to help better make America? Every day when we go to work, we're helping America. We're helping our young people. Everybody who has a job and is working is helping America move further down the road. But what do you do when it comes to race relations? How many friends do you have of someone who's not the same skin color you are? And how many times do you invite them to come into your house and eat with you and break bread together? These are the things that I enjoy in my life. It's a part of my life. Even though culturally there's sometimes I see things differently. And you've heard me on this show. We've had African-American pastors on this show to tell why they like President Barack Obama. I want you, the listeners, to be able to get something out of the show that you won't get anywhere else. And I just want to tell you, you are listening to Rock Splitting Politics. I'm your host, Ed Holliday, and you're listening to us right here on webtalkradio.net. We're talking about the Ferguson fallout and America. Do we have an opportunity to build up or to burn it down? Race relations, what are they in a free fall? Well, that's what we'll be talking about in just about a minute. But let me remind you, if you don't have the book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, you can go right there on the front page. You can click on the picture of the book, the front cover, and you can see how to get yours ordered. Hey, and if you get a gift card coming up during Christmas or for your birthday, if you have a Amazon gift card, you can get the book at Amazon. Go there, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. For More Than Radio Show, got a book too. And now, let's get right into this subject that very few talk show hosts will dive into the way you're going to hear Doc Holliday. Let's get it started right here with a clip from Sean Hannity playing Louis Farrakhan, and then getting a comment from the conservative talk show host Mark Levin. And I'll break in a couple places and give some comments, but take a listen to this.
as violent protests erupted in Ferguson, Missouri. Now, many are wondering, were these riots legitimized by those on the left? For example, take a look at what Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan had to say just days before the Ferguson grand jury reached their decision. Take a look.
As long as they kill us and go to Wendy's and have a burger and go to sleep, they're going to keep killing us. But when we die and they die, then soon we're going to sit at a table and talk about retired. We want some of this earth, because we'll tear this goddamn country up.
And now, Reverend Jesse Jackson, he's refusing to accept the justice carried out by the grand jury. Watch what he says.
The fact is that the 3.5 months, this was no jury of substance, no jury of integrity, no real American. And this was a hangman's noose. It's not right, and we all deserve better.
The grand jury was just a hangman's noose? Here with Reaction, nationally syndicated radio talk show host, the great one, Mark Levin. Mark, your reaction to this?
My reaction is that Farrakhan is a violent, hateful, racist, anti-Semite. And the fact that the President of the United States didn't denounce those comments, the fact that the Attorney General of the United States didn't denounce those comments, the fact that not a single Democrat went to the floor of the House or the floor of the Senate and denounced that man and what he stands for, and not even a Republican as far as I know, is unbelievable to me. As far as Jesse Jackson is concerned, Ferguson is not Selma, and Michael Brown is not Emmett Till.
I'm going to jump right in here after Mark said that, and I agree with Mark as far as what Farrakhan said, and should that be rhetoric that should be accepted in America? Well, no. Is that the reason why we had some a young man from Bosnia, an immigrant, who was beat to death with a hammer outside a St. Louis neighborhood not far from Ferguson? Was that a hate crime? Was that a crime that came from all the rhetoric from people like Farrakhan and others? We don't know. But allegedly, some African-American youth, teenagers, used a hammer, and beat this Bosnian man to death. Was it because of the color of his skin? Well, we'll have to wait and see. But the rhetoric from Farrakhan does not jail with what American principles are, and he does need to be denounced. Now, another thing that Levin said, well, he said that Ferguson was not Selma and Michael Brown was not Emmett Till. Now, I had a good friend of mine who passed away recently, but his father was the prosecuting attorney in the Emmett Till case. And in the past, one of the photographers at the Emmett Till trial was Mr. Withers, Ernest Withers. He was shooting film over the years. He did for Jet magazine, and he's an African-American photographer. Got to know him well before he passed away in his later years. And the Emmett Till case, and for anybody to say Michael Brown was any way associated to be like the Emmett Till case is completely bogus. There's not any comparison in that. If there's any comparison, there's a young African-American died in both instances. But the cases are not similar at all. So Mark Levin was right in that. And it's not similar. It's not Mississippi from the 1950s or 60s. It is America today. And that's why we're talking about it on this show. Continue on, Mark Levin.
There was no racial profiling here. There was no racist police officer here. The militarization, quote-unquote, of the police force had nothing to do with this. This police officer was acting in self-defense. And Michael Brown was the perpetrator here. Now, this country's being turned upside down by this president and attorney general and their surrogates. So the question is why? And I'll tell you why, among other reasons. In the black community, under our first black president and our first black attorney general, it's miserable. High unemployment. The schools stink, and they oppose school choice. What else is going on?
Black on black crime is through the roof. 9 out of 10 blacks are murdered by blacks. You've got gang violence in inner cities like Chicago. What are they doing about it? Nothing. When they met on Monday, did they talk about it? Not a word. What about those shop owners who were burned out in Ferguson, Missouri? Overwhelmingly black and Hispanic. Were they invited to speak on Monday? Nothing. So now Obama and Holder and his surrogates are doing what? They're undermining our police officers, all police officers, regardless of race, pushing what? An agenda to nationalize local police forces? Why?
And indeed, Mark Levin, I have to ask why, and why is that happening? So as we're talking about that, let's just go right in. I got a clip from O'Reilly, Bill O'Reilly on Fox, the No Spin Zone. He had Tavis Smiley. Now, Tavis is originally from Mississippi, down around Gulfport, Mississippi, and he has got a great talk show. He's well-respected in the African-American community, and he has been very tough on Barack Obama. So let's listen to this clip.
Sure. You know how many blacks were killed by police by gunfire last year? In 2012.
I do not know that number. No,
the number is 100 and 123. Do you know how many whites were killed? 326. There are 43 million plus black Americans. 123 were killed by police gunfire. And the Gardner thing is most of those police deaths are gunfire, not the other. Mm-hmm. So there isn't an epidemic of this. I mean, it's not. But when it happens, it's extremely troubling. I could be wrong.
I think you are wrong. There's a pattern here, and you
but
are
the pattern
too, you
is
are too
minuscule,
smart and
though.
Too bright.
It's Bill, a minuscule pattern.
Minuscule.
Well, 123 opposed to 43 million is minuscule.
Bill, tell the parents of these precious young children
everyone
that it's minuscule.
Value to life.
If it were your child, if it were our child, you would not call this minuscule, Bill. That's disrespectful, my friend.
It's not minuscule.
That's disrespectful.
You're taking my remarks out of context. It's not minuscule
The
man
I'm
died.
I'm telling you, it's not minuscule.
The amount of police shootings are minuscule, and more whites, 3 to 1, are killed than blacks.
Let me ask you, Bill, do you not see in the era of the first black president, I might add, do you not, for those who thought we were going to live in a post-racial America because he got elected, which was nonsense then, obviously nonsense today, do you not see a pattern here where black life is being devalued?
I don't, because the statistics don't say there's a pattern. Once again, 123 deaths out of 43 million plus is minuscule. Every death is a tragedy. I'm with you.
Exactly.
Three
That's
times as many whites are shot dead by police than blacks. I don't think
blacks. Bill, there are more white folk in this country clearly than there are blacks.
Absolutely.
Although not for too much longer. But I think there's a message here tonight that most Americans see that it's open season, hunting season on black men.
All right. I disagree, but I respectfully disagree. And you're a stand-up guy for coming on it.
Now, Tavis Smiley said right there is open season, open hunting season on black men. It can seem that way when we hear over and over about these incidences with black teenagers being shot by a white policeman. But what are the facts? What we just heard from Bill O'Reilly. And where the other fact is, why are we having black men shot? Almost 9 out of 10 are shot by other black men. Now that sets us up for another clip from Thomas Sowell, one of the great intellectuals of our day anywhere. A African-American, but he was also on a Sean Hannity show. Take a listen to this.
First, let me play for you the Congressional Black Caucus on the House floor yesterday. They keep saying, hands up, don't shoot. There's one problem. Eyewitnesses to the shooting of Michael Brown said, and I'll quote one of them, he was charging at Officer Wilson like a football player with his head down. So he didn't have his hands up, but this is what they're saying.
Hands up, don't shoot. Hands up, don't shoot.
Hands up, don't shoot. To all Americans who are disturbed by the demonstrations that are taking place across this nation, I want you to remember these four words. No justice, no peace.
The fact that our country, the greatest country in the world, remains mired in race relations issues in the year 2014 is an embarrassment. We really should consider taking a long look in the mirror before we go to other countries lecturing to them about the need for democracy and tolerance.
Dr. Saltz, it's a catchy slogan. There's one big problem with it. It's fiction. Michael Brown, according to the eyewitnesses, did not have his hands up. What's your reaction? Why are members of Congress repeating something that they know is not true?
Oh, for political reasons. I thought of Joseph Goebbels' doctrine, you know, that people will believe any lie if it's repeated often enough and loud enough. They're repeating it often enough and loud enough, and it will pay off for them personally, politically. People who are out to forward their political careers say and do things that have no relationship whatever to reality or to anybody else's interest but their own. I think what has happened in Ferguson, Missouri is going to it is going to adversely affect blacks yet unborn who will still be paying the price for it 10, 20 years from now.
Well, how
because
do you...
they're not going to have...
Go ahead, finish, sir. I'm sorry.
Because you're not going to have businesses there that you had before. I've seen this happen in other cities. Detroit was one of the classic examples. Harlem, you run through the whole list of them. That a city doesn't get over this kind of stuff in a few years.
Yeah.
Thomas Sowell is right. A city does not get over this stuff even in a few years when you burn down businesses. And it's a thing that takes years to get trust and confidence back. So why was the looting allowed? Why did it, the violence and the destruction of property and the burning down, what does that mean? And how does that feel? Well, Eric Holder came in to speak after Ferguson and after the New York case where a grand jury decided not to bring any charges against the death of Mr. Garner in New York. And it's the chokehold case. We won't go all into that, but there's clips and you see what happened there. But the verdict was not to charge the police officer with any crime. And so this is what Eric Holder had to say, to combine things with that and Ferguson and about black lives. Take a listen.
In addition to performing our own investigative work, the department will conduct a complete review of the material gathered during the local investigation. Now, we've all seen the video of Mr. Garner's arrest. His death, of course, was a tragedy. All lives must be valued. All lives. Mr. Garner's death is one of several recent incidents across our great country that have tested the sense of trust that must exist between law enforcement and the communities they are charged to serve and to protect. This is not a New York issue, nor a Ferguson issue alone. Those who have protested peacefully across our great country following the grand jury's decision in Ferguson have made that very clear.
Now, Attorney General Holder said that those who protested peacefully have made that very clear. He didn't talk about the looters, if they made it clear or not. But I won't go back to what he said when he said all lives matter. Well, I did tell you, a friend of this show, Dr. Alveda King, she took up that in one of her blog posts after Attorney General Holder said that all lives matter. And people say black lives do matter. And they do matter. But Alveda King, Dr. King, she challenged Eric Holder and the entire black leadership to say, if black lives really matter, stop making abortion so prevalent in the black community. And she's talking about Planned Parenthood, who did side with the protesters at Ferguson. And what Alveda King was saying was, if black lives really matter, then why in some cities, including New York City, are there more black babies aborted now than are actually come the full term and are born? Do black lives really matter to the black leadership? That's the challenge that Alveda King, the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., has given the black leadership community. And I would like to hear their answer to her. Wouldn't you? Yes, I do want to know what black leadership believes about black lives in the wombs of African-American mothers. Now, I got to finish up the show. There's a clip that I think says it all. There's one person who's not afraid to back down, says he will not back down. I saw him play college basketball when he was known as the round mound of rebound, Charles Barkley, and he went on into the NBA. He had a great career, tough person, and he said something that I think is good to end the show on. And after he says that, I got some final thoughts I want to say. And this is an unusual show, opening the doors and places most people don't tread to go. But it's very important for you to hear these clips, hear what Doc Holliday has to say, and now hear what Charles Barkley said about the riots in Ferguson.
We should have more black kids speaking correctly. We should have more black kids going to college, getting great jobs. You know, part of the problem is we teach, that's one reason I made the role model commercial. We tell blacks unless they can be entertainers or jocks, they're not successful. We can be doctors, lawyers, engineers, teachers, fire and policemen. But there's a perception among some black people, and I got more support now than I got negativity. I know some of the, that's like them jackasses in, who are looting. Those aren't real black people. Those are scumbags.
As Charles Barkley calling the looters scumbags and said they're not real black people. What we need to do is keep America on a positive note. Now, what Charles Barkley said was we need more blacks speaking correctly, knowing you don't have to be a jock or an entertainer. You can be the doctors, the lawyers. You can be the policeman. And I think he speaks a lot of common sense. And he shouldn't be speaking to just black Americans, but all Americans, whatever your skin color. But one of the nuggets I want you to get out of this, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, right here in December, as we celebrate the holiday season where Christmas comes up, other holidays. And I just want you to understand that America can have its best days ahead, but there are people trying to create chaos, trying to do it for their own good, their own reputation, their own ability to raise money and be important. I think it's time for a new song. As you hear the opening of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, that's Bono of U2 singing, "Sing a New Song." That's what America needs. How do you do it? This is how. You need to pray if you're a praying American. Not all Americans pray, but if you do pray, get on your knees and pray for this country. I do. Doc Holliday will pray. I have and I will. Hand in hand with my African-American brothers and sisters in Christ. I'll continue to do that. What else? You must show action, not just talk about it. Find your friend. Find someone you can talk heart-to-heart to that's not the same color skin you are. And ask these questions. Everybody's wanting to hear them on TV, on television, on talk show host. Go and talk. Make a relationship with someone that you may work with them. You may have other ways. But if you don't have someone from a different race that you can talk heart to heart to, you are missing out on one of the best benefits of being an American. People are not taking advantage of America, the melting pot. Find your friend, someone you can talk to, and ask those hard, hard questions. What do white people really think? What do black people really think? What do the Asian population really think? What do the Hispanics really think? Talk to me. We can be truthful, honest, one-to-one. And those are the friendships that are lacking in America. You do your part, and if you don't have someone who's a different skin color than you, your homework for Doc Holliday is to go out and build that relationship. It won't happen overnight, but seek it. You have to be intentional. If you just wait for it to come along, it's not going to happen. Be intentional. And if America will be intentional, we'll have a better country quicker than any of you ever thought. We can do it. You can do it. And Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics is going to be a positive force for America. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.